Well, we're in our third week of the What If series. And as I said last week, the purpose of this series is to help each of us walk more like Jesus, to be more like Him. We have certain things in our lives that we do, such as worry, which we're going to talk about today. Things that we talked about last week, the difficult things that we go through in life. But each of us need to continue to walk and act like our Lord Jesus Christ. This week we're going to look at the problem, and it really is a problem for most of us, for me it is at least, of worrying. We worry about things. We worry about things that sometimes never happen, don't we? We really do. And this morning we're going to look at that subject of worry. I first want us to think about the problems that we get when we worry. And the first one is, worry causes health problems. Have you ever thought about that? Now, we've heard through the ages, when you worry, you're going to get an ulcer. My parents told me that. Doug, you're going to get an ulcer if you worry. But when we take a look at worry, we see that it causes nothing but trouble for our lives. The old English word of worry literally meant to choke. To choke. To choke. Worrying has a choking quality about it. Because it leads to greater anxiety. It leads to sleeplessness sometimes. It leads to a loss of appetite. And you know, sometimes it even leads to overeating. Worrying leads to headaches and acid reflux and high blood pressure and all kinds of things. And yes, worrying even leads to ulcers, as I mentioned earlier. Simply put, a lifelong habit of worry will drive each of us to an early grave. I believe that with all my heart. Secondly, worrying keeps you from enjoying the moment. To use an old cliche, worry doesn't remove years from your life. It removes life from your years. It prevents you from getting the most out of your day. Have you ever found yourself perhaps in a very beautiful setting? Ruth and I like to take drives. And I can remember the first time I came out west with Ruth, we did what we call the Grand Circle or the Grand Canyon Tour, where we flew into Las Vegas and we started looking at Bryce Canyon and all the various canyons. We went down to Durango and then back home. But I can remember that very first night of looking up at the sky and almost being able to reach up and grab a star. It just seemed like the sky was so close and so clear. We didn't get that back in South Bend. We had the smog and the heavy clouds. But out here, it just seems like everything is so beautiful. Have you ever found yourself in that setting where everything is just so beautiful? You want to reach up and grab one of those stars. But you can't enjoy it. Because you've got things on your mind. You're worried about things. And the moment you look up at that, you just start thinking, why am I even here? I've got so much to do. Folks, I've been there more times than I would like to count. And I used to think, wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have these problems to deal with? You ever think that? Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have these problems? I've always assumed in life that these problems, that sometime the older I got, would stop. But as soon as I take care of one problem, and you notice I said I take care of, another problem creeps in, doesn't it? When one gets solved, another one takes its place. So I always have something to worry about. And when I worry, just takes the joy out of the moment. That's what it does to you. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength." And then secondly, lastly, worrying is a sin. The Bible tells us that it's a sin. Why? Because it shows our lack of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if it's not of faith, then it is sin. When we worry, what we are saying in effect is, God, this problem is bigger than you are, and I don't believe you can handle it. Well, when we worry, that's the truth. And folks, that's a sinful attitude. Well, today's message is designed to encourage you to abandon the destructive ways of worrying. After all, I believe it's a habit. I think we get into that rut and we start worrying and we continue and things just go downhill from them. But this morning I want to help you develop a new empowering habit of trusting God for everything in your life. No matter what you're walking through, He's big enough to handle it. If you're willing to give up worry, I'm going to tell you that your life will get better in a number of ways. First of all, you'll learn to focus on what's important. There's an old proverb that says, worry often gives small things a big shadow. Think about it. I remember a cartoon one time where this all you see on the wall is this huge person coming out. But it ends up being a little mouse with a street light on it. Worry often gives small things a big shadow. When we worry, we tend to overemphasize the significance of the less significant things in life. Jesus said in verse 25, "I tell you this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, about what your body is, about what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" Folks, most of the things we worry about, at least what I worry about, are trivial. They're non-important issues, especially in comparison with a concern of life and eternity. Time magazine, years ago, ran an article about a sergeant who had been shot in battle. He had been hit in the throat with shrapnel and was in pretty bad shape. Well, when he awoke the next morning, he had a tube in his throat, so he wasn't able to speak. So he took a pad of paper and he asked the doctor, he said, "Doctor, will I live?" And the doctor said, "Yes." And then he wrote another note. He said, "Doctor, will I be able to speak?" And the doctor wrote back, "Yes, you will be able to speak." And his final note said, "Well, doctor, then what am I worried about?" Do you ever get that way? We have things in our lives that gnaw at us, or we allow to gnaw at us, that we worry about, when ultimately it's going to be okay. Secondly, you'll recognize the provision of God. In verse 30 it says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Folks, most of the things you and I worry about are unimportant. They're trivial. And in my experience, most of the things we worry about never come to pass. Did you hear that? Think about the things you worried about in life. They've never come to pass. Thomas Jefferson said this, "How much pain have they cost us? The evils which have never happened." In my experience, the reason why these worries have never come to pass is because God takes care of them. in every situation. Small, big, He takes care of them for us. It's not like we luck out at the last moment. No, it's because God's hand is upon us. And if we're willing to let go of those little things in life, those little worries, then we can see more clearly how God's hand is in every situation. So the question is, how do you learn to let go of worry? How do you do that? Well, today we're going to look at three steps that you can take to put worry in its place. But before we do, would you pray with me? Father, another tough subject. Because I'm guilty of it. I worry. But I also know in my head that when I worry, it's taking the control out of your hands. And we're not supposed to do that. So Father, help us to learn these three principles, how we can put worry in its place, how we can rely on you, whether it's a big thing or a little thing. It doesn't matter. You care for us so much, you know the number of hairs in my balding head. But that's how much you love me. So Father, help us to take something away from this message this morning. Help us to rely more on you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, first of all, you need to check your priorities. Whoops, wrong one. Check your priorities. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches on the subject of worry. We read the passage during our responsive reading selection. I hope you remember it. But it's interesting that before he talks about dealing with worry, he talks about dealing with priorities. That's one thing we must do, is get our priorities in order. He reminded us in that passage not to lay our treasures up on earth, but where? Lay them up in heaven, the Bible tells us. He tells us that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and money. We need to choose. And I choose God. I don't know about you, but I pray that you do. He tells us in verse 34, "But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." You see, folks, worry is a signal that something is wrong in our lives when we start to worry. It's a signal that there's a problem, and it's usually related to our priorities. When we worry, it's because we're putting something ahead of God. We're putting that worry ahead of God. And that means when we worry, sin is involved. It means when I get wrapped up in worrying, I'm asking myself, what have I put ahead of God? You need to ask yourself that question the very next time you're concerned about something. What have I put ahead of God? If you're worried about something, it may be because it's too high on your priority list. So what do you worry about? Well, do you worry about what the neighbors think of your yard, perhaps? That seems kind of silly. Growing up in Detroit, we had this Jewish couple, the Mosses, living on the northern side of our house. Their yard was immaculate. He would get out there with scissors, literally with scissors, and cut that bent grass. We had, it's like a golf course grass. But he'd get out there and trim it. And I can remember, he had about 2 inches between the sidewalk and the grass where it started, and it was beautiful black dirt. And the dirt was about 2 inches higher than the sidewalk. And I can remember one time on my racer bike, I came off of that street on Outer Drive and came up his driveway, and I didn't make it as fast as I should have, and my wheel got caught in that 2-inch groove. and I went flying across his yard, tearing it up. And the first thing he did was come out and chew me out for messing up his grass. He could care less that I was all skinned up. What do you worry about? How about the promotion? Well, most of us don't work anymore, so we don't have to worry about promotion. But when you did you worry about getting ahead in the business? That's one thing that's on our minds many times. What about the stock market? Some of you might have stocks. The market's up and down. I watch it. I used to be a day trader years ago. Used to love to do that. I can't do that anymore. I'm kind of skittish. Besides, I don't have the money. But the market goes up and down. The man that led me to the Lord many years ago is highly invested in the stock market. And a couple of years ago when the market went down, he called me up and said, "Doug, what do I do? I've lost all this money." I said, "No, you haven't. Unless you traded it in, unless you sold your stocks, you haven't lost a dime. Wait on it." He waited on it, and it's come back up. We worry about things before things happen. Worry. We worry about things we're not sure of. So what we need to do is to rethink our priorities in life. Jesus said, the most important thing in life is to what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then secondly, you need to check your prayer life. Worry is a signal that something isn't right. It's also a signal that we need to spend more time in prayer. In the book of Philippians, Paul said this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." I believe prayer has the power to remove worry. I believe that prayer has the power to remove anxiety in our lives. But only when you give it a chance. A professional fundraiser once told me that the number one reason people don't give to political campaigns is because they're not asked to. Now, it's obvious if a person isn't asked to do something, they're not going to do it, are they? But the same can be said about Jesus and our prayers. James said, "You have not." Why? Because we ask not. We don't ask for it. And for some reason, instead of asking God for help us, we fret over it. We worry about it. We try to fix it ourselves. Now, I know none of you do that, but I do. I try to fix it myself. Instead of trusting God, because I know He can work out the details, but do we trust Him enough to do it? So we continue to worry about it. And in doing so, you know what? We miss out on a wonderful privilege given to each one of us. And that is to be able to present ourselves, our things, our problems to Him. Present your requests to God, the Bible says. That means any problem we have, whether it's small or big, we can present our request to God. For He cares about every little thing going on in our lives. But we have a tendency to want to handle it ourselves. Especially the little things. After all, why bother God for those little things, you know? But folks, there are two problems with this type of thinking. First of all, God cares about the small stuff in our lives. And secondly, if we don't allow God to help us through these day-to-day problems, how can we trust Him with the big things? We can't allow Him to work through these little problems. How can we allow Him to work through the big problems? When you pray about everything, you begin to see God's power and work in your life. Especially with those little minor inconveniences that we go through. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now, in my life, I've noticed an inverse correlation between prayer and worry. And how much I do of one determines how much I do of the other. And if you want to get rid of worry, then I would suggest you focus on prayer. Well, here's the third thing you can do. Check your practices. Now, I've got to confess to you that I use the word practices only to keep up the alliteration. Okay? First one was check your priorities. Second one is check your prayer life. Third one is check your practices. But what I'm saying is this. Look at what you do. Take action. The right action in the right direction. Dale Carnegie once said this. If you worry, have a worry problem, you need to do three things about it. Ask yourself, what is the worst thing that can happen to you? You ever do that? What is the worst thing that can happen to you? And then prepare yourself to accept it. What happened?
Was that the worst thing?
Prepare yourself to accept it. And third, calmly proceed to improve on the worst. There we go. The magic in this formula is you taking the action of you doing something about it. Not solving it, but giving it to God. Many people resign themselves to worrying about things and then doing nothing about it. They don't pray. They don't seek advice. They don't do anything. And as a result, what happens? The worries get bigger and bigger and bigger. And their anxiety just takes them right to bed. Doing nothing fertilizes anxiety. It causes you to worry and be out of control sometimes. But taking action is like a weed killer. Once you spray it, it dies. Once you do something about it, it dies. It removes worry once and for all. Again, the Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The key phrase here, folks, is to put it into practice. Just as there's a correlation between worry and prayer, I believe there's also a correlation between worry and practice, or worry and action. The more you do of one, the less you do of the other. Well, worry is a signal that something's not right in God's plan in your life, isn't it? He never promises us a life without pain, without struggle, without sorrow. But He does promise you and me that we can live a life without worry if we cast all of our cares upon Him. So when worry creeps into your life, it's a call to take action, to pray, to give it to Him, to not fret over it, to not allow the little things in life to drag you down. So what is it this morning that's causing you to worry? Your health? I think the older we get, that's the major concern, at least with me. It's the major concern we have is health. Perhaps the health of others, those we care for, those we love, our family, our our friends. Well, with this topic of worry in mind, I want you to ask yourself some questions this morning. What are my priorities? Am I trusting God? Or am I trusting me? Am I trusting God or am I trusting myself? Do I want what He wants for me? Secondly, have I prayed about this? Now, I'm not saying that you don't pray because I know most of you. In fact, all of you pray. But do you pray about every little thing in your life? Are you praying biblically? Are you praying in faith that God will answer your prayer? And lastly, have I taken action in the direction of my worries? Here's what I've noticed. I take a small step in the right direction. Perhaps I pray, and it takes a big chunk of the worrying away. And if I continue to do that, it takes more and more of it away. Why do we worry? Mostly because we don't trust God. That's just plain and simple. The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord. That's what we need to do. So the next time you worry, give it to Jesus. Now that's easy for me to stand up here and say for you to do. But try it. Give it to Jesus. And see what He'll do in your life. Would you pray with me? So, Father, once more, we take a topic that is relatively simple, but something that bogs each one of us down, and that's worry. And, Father, we worry about the darndest things sometimes. Sometimes the things we worry about most never even happen. But Satan likes to get in there and kind of nudge it a little bit and cause us to worry. So, Father, just speak to each one of our hearts. And the next time there's something in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds that we're worrying about, remind us to give it to You. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.